Welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various places, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A pipeline from Iran to Armenia is destroying a 3,000-year-old city. Archaeologists will be combing the Mendips for hidden treasures in England, while the Sun is bringing archaeologists from across the world to a site in Ireland. Ancient humans followed the rains in the Sahara, a new study shows, and Brown Slade Barrow's secrets are revealed in Britain. In Yorkshire, a new plan is put forward by Tarmac to quarry near the Thornborough Henges, and in Suffolk, newly uncovered timbers could be a 4,000-year-old causeway. Archaeologists are seeking clues on 4,000-year-old Thracian site in Turkey, and stolen metal artefacts are recovered in Iran. Finally, the incredible stone circles of Senegambia are added to the UNESCO World Heritage List. Digging related to the construction of a gas pipeline from Iran to Armenia has partially destroyed remains of the oldest city, called Dragonstone, in eastern Azerbaijan province of Iran. Dragonstone includes ruins of an ancient city built 1,000 years BCE and is located 40 kilometres east of Andarjan village. An archaeologist and historian working for cultural heritage and tourism offices in Iran's eastern Azerbaijan province has said that Dragonstone was declared historic site and protected area by his office. However, Iran's gas company has started digging in the area despite this designation. His office had recommended a different route, yet Iran's gas company had ignored it and dug an area 80 metres long, 7 metres wide, with a depth of 4 metres, destroying a large section of the historic site as a result. Studies of the 3,000-year-old Dragonstone city by archaeologists have not yet been completed, and further studies are needed. By this deliberate destruction, a large segment of the history of Iranian Azerbaijan will be lost. The Cultural Heritage and Tourism Office has added that it is suing the Iran gas company. A team of archaeologists will begin a 4-year hunt for hidden treasures on the Mendip Hills in Somerset, England. A dozen English heritage specialists will use the latest aerial scanning technology, as well as field surveys and other traditional archaeological techniques, to look for new finds and sites. Work will begin in the coming weeks with a complete aerial survey of the hills and groundwork in Burrington. The project will cost around £100,000 and will end with an illustrated book of results aimed at a wide audience, as well as the specialist technical reports. English Heritage's senior archaeological investigator Mark Bowden said that they are confident that there are rich sites to be had on the Mendips. They know there's lots of evidence there. It's an area with huge potential. What they learn there will be of also relevance to the surrounding lowland areas, which were connected to what was going on in the hills. They're concentrating on identifying previously unrecorded sites and revisiting the well-known ones with a fresh eye to re-evaluate and interpret what has been discovered in the past. This will produce a more complete map of the archaeological remains of the Mendips. The archaeologists will use aerial photographs and ground scans, field surveys and geophysics, and a small amount of excavation, and want to assist local amateur archaeologists by bringing in experts and equipment. Examples of the things that they hope to find include ritual monuments from the prehistoric period like barrows, pretty circles and henges. Due to the recent spell of good weather in Ireland, a small excavation site just outside Ruiskeen in County Leitrim has been occupied by a large group of archaeologists. The archaeological investigations on the raised bog site started last year due to the advanced works for the new Dromod-Ruiskeen bypass, but the site has seen a flurry of activity in the last few weeks as the weather has been absolutely perfect for bog excavation. A variety of trackways have been found that are similar to those found in an excavation that occurred in Corlee, County Longford, and items that date back to the Iron Age have been also found and examined. The National Roads Authority believe that the bog, which is a rich source of historical preservation, has remains of life from 1700 BCE to 400 CE. And evidence from this era will uncover details of life and customs in the Iron Age and details in the woodlands and the state of the environment at that time. Over 80 archaeologists are on the site every day, as archaeologists come from all over Europe and include several nationalities. The site excavation is due to be completed by the end of August, and after all recovered items are examined, the National Roads Authority will publish the results and hold a local exhibition. Prehistoric humans roamed the world's largest desert for some 5,000 years, archaeologists have revealed. The Eastern Sahara of Egypt, Sudan, Libya and Chad was home to nomadic people who followed rains that turned the desert into grassland. When the landscape dried up about 7,000 years ago, there was a mass exodus to the Nile and other parts of Africa. The close link between human settlement and climate has lessons for today, researchers report in Science. The basic struggle for food, water and pasture is still a big problem in the Sahara zone. The process started thousands of years ago and has a long tradition, said Dr. Stefan Kropelin of the University of Cologne. Dr. Kropelin and colleague Dr. Rudolf Cooper pieced together the 10,000-year-old jigsaw of human migration and settlement, studying more than 100 archaeological sites in the Eastern Sahara over the course of 30 years. They built up a detailed picture of human evolution in the world's largest desert, and they found that far from the inhospitable climate of today, the area was once semi-humid. Between about 14,000 and 13,000 years ago, the area was very dry, but a drastic switch in environmental conditions some 10,500 years ago brought rain and monsoon-like conditions. Nomadic human settlers moved in from the south, taking up residence beside rivers and lakes. They were hunter-gatherers at first, living off plants and wild game. Eventually, they became more settled, domesticating cattle for the first time and making intricate pottery. Human conditions prevailed until about 6,000 years ago, when the Sahara abruptly dried out. There was then a gradual exodus of people to the Nile Valley and other parts of the African continent. The Nile Valley was almost devoid of settlement until about exactly the same time that the Egyptian Sahara was so dry people could not live there anymore. People preferred to live on savanna land, and only when this wasn't possible did they migrate towards southern Sudan and the Nile. They brought all their know-how to the rest of the continent. The domestication of cattle was invented in the Sahara in the humid phase and was then slowly spread across the rest of Africa. This Neolithic way of life, which still is a way of life in a sense, preservation of food for the dry season, and many other such cultural elements, was introduced to Central and Southern Africa from the Sahara. Archaeologists will take advantage of a summer lull in firing at the Ministry of Defence Castle Martin Range this August to spend time unravelling the mysteries of the Brown Slade Barrow. The site, situated on part of the Castle Martin Army Training Estate, was first excavated over a century ago, and is believed to originate from between 2300 to 650 BCE. Brown Slade Barrow is one of Pembrokeshire's most interesting and important historical sites. It has evidence of multiple use, and the quality of remains found there during recent excavations are much better preserved than any other site in the county. It was partially excavated in the 1880s and is believed to have prehistoric Bronze Age origins, said Polly Groom of the National Parks Authority. Evidence was found of later reuse, with burials presumed to date from the early medieval period. Two very recent trial investigations on site revealed over 100 pieces of human bone from at least 6 individuals. Radiocarbon dates put them within the early medieval period, that's the 5th to 11th centuries CE. The remains may occupy a time span of up to 500 years. The site is really unusual in having good preservation. Mostly in Pembrokeshire, the soils are so acidic that preservation of remains is very poor. This makes Brown Slade Barrow even more important and interesting. The site is currently being damaged by badger burrowing, and no, that's not me, so this summer's excavations will allow information to be retrieved before it is destroyed completely. The Ministry of Defence is funding the four-week-long dig, which is coordinated by Pembrokeshire Coast National Park Authority and Cambria Archaeology. Information, pictures and updates will be posted online in a regular dig diary throughout the summer, and you can find that at www.cambria.org.uk. That's www.cambria.org.uk. Revised plans for quarrying near Thornborough Henges in North Yorkshire, England, have been submitted by quarry firm Tarmac. The company has already lodged an appeal against refusal of planning permission earlier this year for an expansion of activities at its Nosterfield quarry, close to the Henges. Now it has submitted an alternative proposal for the Ladybridge farm site, which would involve quarrying 31 hectares of land rather than the 45 hectares originally proposed. The latest application, which North Yorkshire's Planning Committee is expected to determine before the end of the year, avoids the southwest section of the site to address concerns raised by English Heritage and the Friends of Thornborough Henges. Tarmac Estates Manager Bob Nicholson said that we hope that the revised application offers a way forward for all parties. We believe this revised application serves to demonstrate that we understand the concerns of the community, North Yorkshire County Council and English Heritage. However, Chairman of Friends of Thornborough Henges John Lowry, although welcoming the reduction in the application site, has said that Tarmac has not gone far enough to protect the setting of the Henges. They may think that there is nothing in the area that they want to quarry, but there may be significant archaeology, and still think that it should be refused. Timbers unearthed during flood defences work on the Norfolk-Suffolk border in England have been dated to between 3,000 and 4,000 years ago, archaeologists have now revealed. The well-preserved find are the first of their kind in this region, and it's thought they may have belonged to a walkway across the marshland in the Iron Age. Jane Siddle, the English Heritage Archaeological Science Advisor, said that this is the first such structure to have been discovered within Suffolk and is only one of only a very few in Britain itself. The timbers were found on the banks of the River Waveney and have been remarkably well preserved, with chiseled points still intact. The vertical posts were uncovered during the excavation of a new dike of Beccles Town Marshes. A full-scale archaeological investigation will be carried out over the next few weeks. On finding the posts, contractors for Broadland Environmental Services Limited contacted Suffolk County Council Archaeological Field Services, who identified the timbers as relating to an ancient structure, possibly a causeway. Some pottery was also uncovered, and this was mainly from the Roman period. The machine driver initially thought they were modern fence posts, but since then an estimation of Bronze Age date from the distinctive tool marks may turn out to be 3,000 to 4,000 years old. It was feared that where the ground had been disturbed, the remaining timbers would begin to rot. The excavation, which will last up to 3 weeks, is to be carried out by archaeologists from the County Council and the University of Birmingham. The nature of the remains suggests that there was more than one phase of activity in the area, so finds are likely to be Bronze and Iron Age as well as Roman. Archaeologists working on an ancient Thracian site in Tekirdağ in Turkey said they have unveiled part of an ancient city named Herion Techos, which is thought to date back to 2000 BCE. The excavation team has been working to unearth the ancient city for the last 6 years. Head of the excavations, Associate Professor Neshe Atik, said that sources of information on the Thracian civilization are very scarce. As a result of the excavations, we can see that they were very successful in producing gold and silver artifacts, as well as pottery and textiles. Considering the fact that numerous pieces of imported pottery from the 5th and 3rd centuries BCE were unearthed during the excavations, and that the city had a huge fortress, it appears that this was a wealthy seaport. They were hoping to get more information on the lifestyle of Thracians in upcoming excavations, and that they were also aiming to open the ancient settlement site to tourism. The police department of Jeroft in Iran succeeded in confiscating 41 metal artifacts belonging to both prehistoric and historic periods. The earliest one is a riton, which is a kind of goblet with the head of an animal, belonging to the 3rd millennium BCE. According to Nader Suleimani, archaeologists from the Cultural Heritage and Tourism Department of Kerman Province, a bronze dagger belonging to the 1st millennium BCE with the design of an animal like a crocodile is one of the other interesting relics in this collection. A bronze axe and a copper plaque engraved with a humped cow, an ibex and a palm tree are among the other recovered finds. Lack of enough control over Jeroft historical site and lack of awareness of the public about its importance has turned Jeroft into a paradise for illegal diggers, plundering a large number of ancient relics in the site. Up until now, some 4,000 historical relics have been identified and confiscated by the police department, all of which have been unearthed during illegal excavations in Jeroft. And that just makes you think about how many were not caught. The World Heritage Committee, sitting on its 30th session in Vilnius, Lithuania, has approved the inscription of the stone circles of the Senigambia in the World Heritage List. In recognising the universal significance of the stone circles, the World Heritage Committee cited the fulfilment of two World Heritage Convention's conditions, noting that the finely worked individual stones display precise and skillful stone working practices and contribute to the imposing order and grandeur of the overall stone circles complex, and that the stone circles represent the wider megalithic zone in which the survival of so many circles is a unique manifestation of construction and funerary practice which persisted for over a millennia across a sweep of landscape and reflects a sophisticated and productive society. The stone circles complex is a transborder phenomena which radiates from the river Gambia north to the river Saloum in Senegal. The four groups of sites cover 93 stone circles and numerous burial mounds, some of which have been excavated to reveal material that suggests dates from between the 3rd century BCE and the 16th century CE. Together, the stone circles and their associated burial mounds present a vast sacred landscape created over more than 1,500 years. It reflects a prosperous, highly organized society. The stones were quarried with iron tools and then skillfully shaped into almost identical cylindrical or polygonal 7-ton pillars, on average about 2 meters high. Each circle contains between 8 to 14 pillars and is about 4 to 6 meters across. Although the stone circles are smaller in dimension than their European counterparts, the presence of such a large number of stones in such a small area is found nowhere else in the world. The Senigambian complex comprises 1,053 stone circles, with up to 52 circles on a single site alone. Many questions continue to be asked about the significance of the circles, their purpose, or who built them. What is certain is that they're burial grounds. The burials also appear to be pre-Islamic in nature. As the burial goods continue to be extant and in use in the areas in which they're found, there's no need to look elsewhere for the circle builders themselves. Once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a wealth of other information such as a heritage calendar, library and guidance, can be found on Badger, that's a British archaeological jobs resource, that's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, that's news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you return again next week.